Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm just delightful. How are you?
Doing delightful as well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Is Joe here?
Joe's here.
I'm here.
You're live.
He's live.
I'm alive, too.
He made it. No tick bite this morning. We're all good. Everything's going well.
No Rocky Mountain fever.
It's good. It's good. Corey, your shock level of what you saw from Vanderbilt baseball this weekend, becoming the first number one national seed to not even make it to the regional final.
I mean, it's shocking, but and I say I've seen it before. We haven't seen them not make the regional final before, but I've seen it before. I mean, we saw the David Price team lose to Michigan in the regional. I covered South Carolina for years, and I saw them come up short, you know, repeatedly before they finally broke through. You know, it happens. And, you know, it's hard to explain other than, you know, saying the moment got too big. Because, you know, there's no reason to lose to Wright State. And I don't care that they're a tournament team, too. You know, you're playing Wright State. Wright State's on, what, their third pitcher at that point? You know, 0-14. With runners in scoring position, I mean that's just it's not good enough. And I don't mean to be mean, but you know they got what they did.
So do you feel, Corey, despite this result and the postseason is what teams are judged on, do you feel like there was any movement in the right direction for Vanderbilt in terms of trying to, you know, but basically trying to get back, but also, you know, obviously Tim Corbin sort of pivoting a little bit and things like that. Like, how do you feel about things moving forward?
Well, I mean, shoot, they won a lot of games. I mean, they played a brutal schedule this year, even outside the SEC. And so, you know, they were certainly better than they were a year ago. But, you know, you do have to win in the postseason. And you know it's tough because like you know you look at the Tennessee team last year and you know that team was ridiculous. I mean everybody in the lineup had 20 home runs, and so you know you don't want to compare them to that. But you know maybe we compare them to Vanderbilt teams of the past when you know you knew they had like multiple like first round caliber pick players. And you know, you see, guys like Holcomb. I mean, wasn't Holcomb a freshman this year?
I believe so.
Yeah, I mean,
this year, I think it might be Holcomb. This year was a sophomore, right? I think
sophomore. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep. All right.
Johnston was a freshman. Yes. And he's going to be a
bet. Yeah. Yeah. So they've got some young guys who, you know, and that, now with the transfer portal, they got to hang on to them. They've got some young guys who look like they're going to really, you know, be something at the plate for them. Because, you know, outside of not scoring this weekend, I mean, they did score runs this year, but you know they weren't a mashing team. I don't think we would call them that.
No.
And you know they need a little more. They need a little more. But you know I think they're certainly better than they were a year ago. And a year ago was, you know, just a down year. We can all say that, even though they went to the tournament, that was not a team up to the standard. And, you know, the result of the tournament isn't up to the standard for Vanderbilt. But, you know, this was a good team that had a bad weekend.
Corey, what have been your impressions, your thoughts on, based on some of the comments that his teammates have made, how Cam Ward has kind of ingratiated himself and with the Titans to this point, and what do you make of his teammates basically saying that this kid is pretty darn quick in terms of learning offense, getting command in the huddle, and how much stock do you put into that this time of year? We're talking about late May, early June.
Well, I mean, you've got to, you know, obviously watch the expectation level this time of the year, but all the stuff you're saying isn't surprising. I mean, this is what he did at Incarnate Word. This is what he did at Washington State and what he did at Miami. He came in and immediately, you know, won people over. And, you know, you win people over with talent and hard work. You know, if you're talented and a jerk, you don't win people over. If you're, you know, an awesome guy but not talented, it still doesn't work. So, you know, he leads the way. You know, when you talk to him, when you interview him, you know, he's all very serious and all very straightforward. And, you know, you hear about him showing up at 5 a.m. I mean, you know, he wants to work. He wants to be good. And I continue to say that I think one of the big differences for him is that he's been a quarterback his entire life. And he's wanted to be a quarterback in his entire life. Because there's a different position with different expectations and different demands. And so he's embraced all of those for almost 20 years. And so he's learned in that position. He's learned to play the game in that position. He's learned to lead in that position. And so I think a lot of that is showing right now.
As a awesome, untalented guy, I take offense to your prior analysis. Have we asked you, Corey, about this? I don't think so. It's like the opinions vary widely on the Brian Callahan attempt to foster more leadership. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, the players all seem to be on board with it. And, you know, they need more leadership, for sure. And I think I applaud him saying leading by example isn't good enough, because he does need guys to pull guys along. You know, when the Titans had Ben Jones and they had Kevin Byard and Derrick Henry and players like that, it made a difference. And we're seeing now that it made a difference. They missed those guys. And so, you know, the players, you know, that are accomplished, you know, the Tony Pollards, the Calvin Ridleys, the Jeffrey Simmons and such, they do need more from those guys. You know, they need those guys to really, you know, set the example and set the expectation for the younger guys, you know, as to, you know, what is good enough and what is not. And, you know, we all know the difference between being accountable to your boss and being accountable to your coworkers. You know, Robbie may not care about you at all, Joe. But you know, wow. I think if he has a terrible show, he feels bad for you.
Jeez.
At some point you get numb to things. At some point you get numb to reality.
Good gracious. Joe,
you were especially,
Robbie may hate you, but it's okay.
You know, look, you were especially farted up today.
you bring a Packer guy into the studio and he's got a lot to overcome. He really does.
Wow. It's true.
That's a good point, too.
You know, I spend my whole time saying if I could only be more like those Bears fans, yeah. Like all those Bears fans.
Who always have measured expectations, you know, yeah. And then are always so pleased in the fall.
You saw George Went passed away, so we've got half of the Bears crew in heaven together.
Yeah.
So
That's right.
You know,
Chris and George.
Yep, they're cheering from above now.
Hey, is there? We talked about this with Charles Robinson last week, Corey, and he gave a very quick no to this. Like, is there any sort of buzz out there right now to Will Levis being traded? And like, he didn't even have to think about it. He's like, no, I haven't heard much of that. Is there any spot in particular that makes sense to you for him to end up at, or do you think that the way that people view him around the league right now is this could be very difficult for the Titans to move on from him?
Well, I mean, I think it would have to be a spot where somebody thought. You know, I mean, like the Packers traded for Malik Willis because they thought there was something there that they could work with, you know, and they didn't bring him in as a starter. They brought him in as a backup, and he ended up having to play a lot sooner than I thought they probably expected. And so it would have to be somebody that thought that, you know, they could really work with Will as a backup with potential to be something maybe down the line. I mean, you know, there are teams that I think that could use him. You know, you look at a team like who does Miami have as a backup right now for Tua?
We just talked about this.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, there you go. Big Zach.
Oh, Zach Wilson.
Zach
yeah,
Attack.
So they could use Will because Zach's terrible. No, but like, you know, like the Raiders with Geno Smith. I mean, Geno Smith's 100 years old at this point. You know, if you wanted to bring Will in to back him up and to learn.
I'd probably be better than Aiden O'Connell. Probably.
If the Rams wanted to bring him in behind Matthew Stafford.
They got Jimmy G, though.
Yeah, well, he's old and fragile.
I'm very brushed up on backup quarterbacks. We went through the SI ranking of them today.
Well, I mean, Jimmy's not a developmental backup quarterback.
He's not.
He's a if, you know, break in case of emergency quarterback, because he will soon break thereafter.
Wow. Nice.
Corey's on a roll this morning.
But, you know, so I think there are teams with, you know, older starting quarterbacks who could look at him as someone that, you know, let's burn a late pick on and see, you know, see what we can develop. Because, you know, as I talked about Cam, you know, playing quarterback his whole life, Will has not been a quarterback that long. He only started playing, I think, very late in high school. I think he was a positional player until then. And so I think you see some of that in his game because he plays quarterback like a football player a lot of times. And so, you know, I think he is a guy who can get better over time. And, you know, we'll see where he is, you know, in the league. You know, it may never work out, you know, but maybe in 4 years or whatever, you know, he gets out there and he looks more comfortable. And, you know, there might be a team. I mean, guys, look, how did Malik Willis look for 2 years?
Not very good.
He looked worse than Will Levis did last year.
Significantly.
Yes. And somebody used a seventh round pick on him.
So now he's a number nine backup quarterback in the NFL.
Apparently so.
According to SI.com.
And why? Because he improved significantly. I mean, he took a massive, massive jump in 1 year. And so you just need one team to have a belief, you know, that Will Levis can do it. And there's plenty in Will Levis, you know, to believe in. You know, decision making is his number one thing in reading defense, and you know that's something that you would think with study can improve.
Corey, wonderful stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today, and we will talk to you next Monday.
I'm glad I got in George Wendt because I don't think I got that in last week.
No,
you know, God bless him.
R.I.P. Legend.
Yep. Nami.
Absolutely. Corey, thank you, sir.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. A couple things to react to there from Corey, and we have a friend of our program on the text line that is upset with us. We'll get into that coming up next. Mm-hmm. Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
We talked a lot in the past about how you like the personality of this team.
Mm-hmm.
They came together. Is that something that makes this thing a little bit more?
Yeah, I love them. I love them. You know, I'm just bummed I can't, you know, be with them. That sucks. I mean, it really sucks. And, you know, I'm on the tail end of, you know, I don't take anything for granted. I don't need a damn life scare to appreciate what I'm doing every day. But, you know, when you get to the ballpark, you get to the yard every morning, I put on the pants, and it's just like, okay, now next week, you know, you put on the pants, no one's there, locker room's cleaned out. I mean, it's a heavy, heavy hit. We spend a lot of time at this. Everyone, when it's done, it's really tough, really tough. Max is out. So, you know, it's what it is.
That was an emotional Tim Corbin yesterday in the aftermath of their loss to Wright State. Taking your thoughts on Vanderbilt losing out in the regional, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, we have a friend of the show on the text line that is that is upset with us today.
Okay.
Our friend JC in Gillettsville, who has been listening for a long time, we appreciate and love JC in Gillettsville. The text thread kind of started this way. It says, good Lord, guys, this was a flawed offensive Vanderbilt team. They were given the number one overall seed based off the SEC tournament. One guy hitting 300 and nobody else really all that close, or hitting above 300. Want something to talk about? Corbin championship number three lost to COVID with Rocker and Leiter as the top two starters, which we have discussed that before. That,
yeah.
They certainly would have been the favorite that year.
We talked about that quite a bit in the year 2021.
We did. There's no doubt. So, you know, it's a, you know, would they have won the championship this year? They certainly would have, that year they would have been the favorite. So, we'll never know.
Yeah, 2020, actually. In 21, they got there. 2020, they would have been definitely the favorite to win it.
Exactly. So,
could have been a back-to-back.
There is that. But, like, I don't really know what you want us to talk about today. Like,
well, when are we supposed to talk about this?
Like, the numbers are what they are. They're the number one seed. And I guess JC's point is, like, the volume of our discussion around Vanderbilt losing today has been, you know, probably the most we've talked about Vanderbilt baseball all year. And it's like, well, I hate to tell you guys this. This is when people care about college baseball. Like, yeah. I, you know, there are the diehards that are in and watch every game and go to every series, and that's great. The bottom line is the majority of our audience does not care about college baseball on a day-to-day basis throughout the year. They care now when the postseason begins and plays. So that's why we are talking about it today.
Yep, it's a, and then he also had the point of, oh, are you gonna, if Tennessee loses, are you gonna talk about? I mean, we're gonna talk about Tennessee baseball tomorrow for sure.
But can we also recognize that there is a difference? But like, let's say Tennessee loses tonight, can we not recognize that there is a difference between Tennessee losing in the regional final, coming off a national championship last year to Wake Forest, and Vanderbilt being the number one overall seed, becoming the first team in history to not make the regional final, and they've not been out of the region since 2021. Like, those are two very different things. So,
yeah.
Again, I like,
yes, you know, this is big news.
I'm not trying to, like, you know, wave a Tennessee flag here or anything, but like, I'm just saying those are two different things.
Yeah, no, this is significant news. It's one of the, I mean, honestly, it was one of the biggest sports world news items yesterday, is that this is the first time this has happened, and it's a local team. So yeah, we're going to talk about it. Also, by the way, Vingan and I are going back and forth on this. He's claiming, I bet you this is a segment on DVD. He's claiming that this was the baseball equivalent of UMBC beating Virginia 16-1 in the 2018, which is the first 16 to beat a 1. I was like,
I think it's a little strong.
It's maybe a little strong. His point is Vanderbilt's loss is unprecedented, and that is true. But let me just raise my hand. Maybe others are different. I didn't even know the regional final stat until yesterday.
Right.
And we all, like, the 16 beating a 1, like, when that actually happened, it was like, holy cow. I think it's also the nature of the sports.
It's just different. Yeah.
Yeah, it's different. I think in football, for sure, and this is what Wright State's coach was saying yesterday, is like, you know, football, a way more talented team against a mid-major, like, they kill them.
Yeah.
And in baseball, there's a human element, there's a pressure element, and it can totally change the math. And I think in basketball, too, usually you handle it, and if you're that much better, you beat the team. Now, in that game, UMBC shot the lights out. Virginia couldn't do anything right. So they didn't handle the pressure there either. I just think that's a little bit bigger deal.
Well, in baseball, like, I'm not saying that this is what happened yesterday, but in baseball, there are situations where you can absolutely hammer the ball, and it just goes right to somebody, right?
Like,
you
and can, that did happen a few times.
It did happen a couple times, but by and large, that was not the issue for Vanderbilt. It was just, as we've talked about, the approach that they took and some of the decisions that they made. But I just think it's a different – like, in football, a lot of it comes down to the offensive line when you're talking about those mashups. I mean, there's just nothing that the less talented team could do, right? They're just getting pancaked.
Baseball is made for – anything can happen on a given day, of course. That's why we see these midweek games, right? These teams lose in midweek games all the time. I mean, Tennessee and Vanderbilt lost midweek games they shouldn't have lost this year. Tennessee lost to ETSU this year. That's why the baseball tournament's double elimination anyway.
Exactly.
Because it's like, the one game thing is, the thing about Vanderbilt is it was three straight games of just, I don't know what the heck was going on for a lot of the time at the plate.
Dennis on the text line says, you said it earlier, this team didn't have Pedro Alvarez, Swanson, Blade, Spencer Jones, et cetera.
Austin
There's no doubt.
Martin, yeah, yeah. Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
I don't think anybody's trying to make the argument that this was the most talented Vanderbilt team that we'd seen. The numbers are what they are. The disappointment level in terms of not getting out of the regional, being the number one overall seed. Look, whether they deserve to be the number one overall seed or not, they were, and they couldn't even get to the regional final. So that's why we're talking about this in such great detail
today. Yeah, but like a counter to Vingan's point, and I'd be interested, I would think Willie would agree with this. I'll be interested in his perspective, but we talked about it earlier in the show. This, technically speaking, and 20 years down the road, people look back and say, okay, we're some of the biggest upsets. They'll say, well, here's the number one seed that didn't get to the regional final, first time ever. I would still absolutely argue that the 2007 Vanderbilt team,
yes,
they were the number one seed.
Yes.
That was the team. This wasn't the team. This was someone had to be the number one. Some years
Correct.
You don't have the team. That was the team, and they got to the regional final. But losing to Michigan at home was shocking.
Yes.
David Price, best player in the sport. Pedro Alvarez, et cetera, et cetera. Like, they were loaded. This team is not that team.
I mean, that team was, 54-13?
Yeah, totally dominant.
Yeah, I mean, they were unbelievable. Again, I remember where I was when I found out that they lost that game.
Oh, yeah.
That's how stunning it was that they lost that. So, this is not that in terms of, just shock value. I think it's the shock value is not even really that they lost. It's how they lost over the weekend. It's like, man, they just could not for the life of them hit the ball, which I did not expect to happen against those opponents in this regional.
No.
Maybe at some point that catches up to you in the Super Regional or the College World Series in Omaha, but against Wright State and Louisville, I figured you'd be able to hit the ball a little better than they did.
Yeah, someone earlier said that they were like, I told everybody Wright State was way underrated, all this stuff. I was like, you needed to text that last week, man.
Yeah, you can't do it now.
But, I get that, these pitchers, maybe they had some injuries, whatever it is, but those numbers were not, in 10 innings. Those are still numbers. Those guys both had innings this year, and it said that in the Horizon League, they were struggling to get people out.
Right. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the text line. We will do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Jeff on the text line says, if Vandy fans want their roses as a nationally elite program, then they've got to take the scrutiny when the team gets upset. Says, P.S., I'm a Vol fan. It would not be surprised at all if they lose today. That's from Jeff on the text line.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think Vanderbilt fans are, some combination of some range between upset and depressed right now.
Yeah.
Right?
But you should be, right?
Yes. Exactly.
First off, it shows you care. And secondly, I mean, look, it's a credit to the Vanderbilt baseball program and what Tim Corbin has built that the expectations are what they are, right? Like, the fact that this is unbelievably disappointing the way it is, and the fact that, as I said earlier in the show, in the grand scheme of things, it really hasn't been that long since you were in a College World Series final in 2021. Not that long ago, but the fact that it feels like forever, I think shows you, I mean, it's a couple things. Number one, it's your rival in Tennessee kind of ascending the way that they have. And number two, it shows you what the expectation is with Tim Corbin and Vanderbilt and their program of how good they've been, right? So you've got all of that kind of working together.
Yes. It's just that when you go from the final game against Mississippi State and you lose, and you don't get to the second weekend in this long, that's the stunner. Because not that getting to the second weekend is anything to sneeze at, but it's just built an expectation. Also, to your point about Tennessee, they have not missed getting to the second weekend since 2019.
Right.
So in the same time frame, again, this year you finally beat them 2 out of 3, you win, you have fun, you're talking some trash, and all that's great. Then you kill them in the SEC tournament. Oh, you flip the tables, but you're – tonight about to possibly watch them punch their ticket again and keep getting to places you suddenly can't get to in the postseason, which is where everything is – that's what it's all about. I mean, yeah. I think – I guess it's true in any sport. It's all about postseason.
Exactly.
But I think to your point on baseball especially, and this is where I think pressure is an interesting thing to think about in terms of – because you're right. I mean, look, for me, I mean, in the beginning of April, I'm completely focused on, like, the Final Four. Right? And some people are into it and watch these baseball teams all season, and that's awesome. But a lot of people, you start to pay attention around mid-May, and you're gearing up for the postseason. So, like, the attention is so not there, and then it's so heavy. And I do think you have to consider that when you think about a team like Vanderbilt this weekend, again, at home, just – looking like it just hates to play baseball.
Well, and frankly, we live in a part of the country where I think it college baseball and how people view it, like, I think it's a good thing that everybody cares this time of year, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, obviously, if you're a college baseball diehard, like, you want people to care about a game in March the way that you do, right? And I get that. I understand it. But, I mean – whether it's been Vanderbilt and some of the runs they've gone on to the College World Series, or Tennessee recently with some of the runs they've gone on, like, we live in a part of the country where that's probably a little bit more heightened than it is in other places in terms of the interest level in college baseball this time of year, which is good.
It is.
I'm all for it.
And by the way, a big day for the SEC today.
Yep.
They have two teams so far that have advanced. They've lost Georgia. They've lost Florida. They've lost Mississippi State. They've lost Vanderbilt. They've lost the team that has been number one a lot of this year, Texas.
Yep.
Schlossnagel, you know, Texas A&M fans have got – Texas A&M fans, you better build a building for UTSA. Like, build them a batting cage or something, right, for knocking Texas out? You got to love that. But, I mean
– take some of Jimbo's money?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You have plenty of money there.
It's a high-level academic institution.
So, today you got – obviously, you got UT, again, Texas and UT. This is UT. So you got UT against Wake to try to play Arkansas, which would be the best super if it happens. You got Oklahoma,
yep,
uphill battle against North Carolina. You got four teams, I think, that can still get there, but very disappointing. The Women's College World Series, you got three of the four teams left, including UT, our SEC teams. Wild win for UT over UCLA. But in the baseball, this is, I mean, right now the ACC might have some serious bragging rights, depending on how things break today, over the SEC. ACC has three teams in Supers right now. SEC only two. So I like any ACC or Big 12 like win in any sport now. I'm like, yay, good job, little guy.
Any Vandy fans going to make their way to Knoxville today for the regional final? I mean, it's the same colors, Wake Forest. You just get out there and kind of blend in, right?
That's some hate watching right there. I do want to shout out Mitch Light. His son is a Wake Forest student who went with his dad to watch the disappointment, but he might be rolling out there to go see his Deacon, see if they can pull it off. But yeah, Vanderbilt fans are nervously hate watching today.
Get in there. I mean, look, I saw some of it started yesterday. Obviously, there's the immediate jabs when they lose. I got a feeling Vol Twitter could be insufferable, as they have been known to be at times, if they win this game tonight.
This guy,
it could be a special time on the Twitterverse.
This guy, Austin Brown, is one of the – when I did, like, the Vol Twitter thing, I talked to him. He's one of the people I talked to. He had a tweet yesterday. It was like, Vanderbilt's down 4-0. I can barely breathe. It's like, just like, complete.
Good Lord.
Oh, my God. It's happening.
Some of these people on Vol Twitter, I get a little worried about. It's like, man, well, you take way too much pride in this.
But the thing about it is, like, they just got smacked by Vanderbilt, and there was, of course. I mean, for whatever Vandy Twitter could summon in terms of trash talk, I'm sure they did fine, right?
Yeah.
So it's like right after that, you get this. Oh my goodness, what a gift for the Vols. As long as you win tonight. If you lose tonight, then it's like, I thought this was supposed to be this awesome rivalry between national contenders.
And again, but you know what? The other part of this is, as I keep saying, like, I am rooting for the year that we get a Tennessee-Vanderbilt College World Series final. And it's clearly not going to happen now. So, got to wait another year.
And Tennessee might lose tonight. I think Gentry S is exactly right. It's going to be one of those bullpen games for both teams, and it might be like a 10-9 game.
Yeah.
But even if that happens, it will not change the fact that we had a great chance at it this year. We had a great chance at Tennessee, Vanderbilt, the final series, because there's nobody dominant. Texas is supposed to be a dominant team. Bye! UTSA beat you. This is just a year of strange parity. It's wide open. I do think if Tennessee and Arkansas play, you could make the case that the two most talented teams are in a super and that only one of them is going to get to Omaha. But I mean, it absolutely was there for them to meet in that final series. And, yeah, at some point in our lifetimes, we need it to happen.
I mean, I feel like with as good as both of these programs now are, it's got to happen at some point, right?
Well, I mean,
got to.
Well, that's the thing, too, is like, you know, in a given year, they might just end up on the same side in
Omaha. Yeah, that's
the thing. You know, like the bracket was even there for it.
I know.
So, kind of sucks. Actually, now that I think about it, really sucks.
Yeah, it really does. Alex says we need to step into the Mississippi State-Ole Miss rivalry. I think both teams' fan bases secretly love it when the other loses more than when their team wins.
I think that's true of a lot of in-state rivalries. Yeah. I really do. It's like, I mean, it's like pick your, you know, it's like would you rather win when they also win or would you actually be okay losing as long as they do? I think some people are like, I can't handle them winning. I can't handle them winning at all in any way ever.
I don't care if we lose every game as long as it's not that one.
That's right.
Some people operate that way.
Well, Ole Miss, I think they got it on the line today too, I think, right? Mississippi State's out.
Ole Miss got Murray State tonight.
That's right. Murray State's been one of the big surprises. So, yes, those Mississippi State fans who you got bounced yesterday, a lot of hate watching. A lot of hate watching going on in the SEC.
Dylan from Antioch asking if I want to take a victory lap about Scottie Scheffler winning another golf tournament. I will. Rexroad was all in on it yesterday, so I'll let him do it later too.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually hoping we could be a little more extensive in breaking it all down, you know, hole by hole. So
maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow. We got time tomorrow.
We got an audio clip that I am very excited to hear that Ian has put together coming up next regarding a development that took place earlier in the show. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
You know, I'm excited to go down to Duval and see what,
let's
go. Know, what Trevor and you know, the new addition, Travis Hunter, you know, they gave up a lot of draft capital to go up and get Travis. And, you know, they believe in him. They think he's a generational player. And, you know, they've got Brian Thomas Jr. there, who had an outstanding season last year. And most of these good quarterbacks and good teams, they have more than one receiver, you know,
sure.
Because defenses, they'll just tilt the coverage to whoever the primary target is, and then you've got nobody else to throw to. Mm-hmm. Well, now Jacksonville has Travis Hunter, and, you know, I'm excited. Trevor, it's a big year for Trevor. He's got to continue to take a step. And this guy, I thought he was a supreme talent in the draft last year, two-way player. We'll see how much he's going to play on defense.
Where do you come out with that? Like the standard, is he a wide receiver, is he a corner? How would the team handle that? What would you
do? Yeah, I think it seems like they're going to play him at wide receiver mostly.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, he'll dabble some over at corner. You know, when I was in New England, we did it a couple times out of necessity with Troy Brown and with Jules.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Travis may play a little bit more, you know, defense than Jules did. But I'm excited to watch Trevor and Travis, you know, out there combined with BTJ.
That's John Robinson on Good Morning Football this morning, offering the analysis on the Jacksonville Jags and Travis Hunter.
He sounded good there, except that was a great opportunity to rip them for not realizing that Travis Hunter should be an all-time great cornerback. John, come on, man.
Mm.
And also, you had a chance to say Duval. Give Duval just a little extra. And also, I can't wait for him to go down there. If he's going to stay in media and meet the Jag GM. Oh, Mr. Robinson. Did I tell you we were hunting up Hunter?
Travis Hunter is who we've been hunting up.
Oh, yeah.
God.
That may be my favorite voice that you do.
Hey, Travis. Again, you have to be a Simpsons fan. I think I actually do it pretty well. I hope Bingen's listening because he knows. He knows that that's like the, you know, the teenage is stock teenager on Simpsons voice.
So is this what J-Rob's doing now? Is he about to launch his media career?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I could see him. But shoot, we got J-Rob and Ran, possibly. They could be like dueling media former GMs or maybe even team up somewhere.
I mean, when did his contract with the Titans go? How long is Amy paying him?
So, okay, let's see.
Is it 27?
I want to say it was a 5-year in, Well, now, wait a minute. Yeah, because it was a 21 season. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's I think it expires at the beginning of 27.
Good
thanks,
for him.
Amy.
Good for him. All right. Well, yeah, he's got all the time in the world then. He can do some media. They don't even have to pay him that much.
Dinner's on you, Mr. Robinson.
Hey, we'll see how that goes. But, hey, apparently, you know, he's excited to watch Travis Hunter, Brian Thomas Jr. in that Jacksonville offense this year.
I like how we
I'm sure it'll go well down
DTJ.
There.
DTJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Like I was saying earlier in the show, he joked one time about like his inevitable media career after he gets fired, which at that point he was in no danger at all. It probably wasn't that far from him getting fired, actually. It was probably like before the 21 season or something. But yeah, you know, at that point it's like you're totally on firm ground. But I think he was only partially joking, like that at some point he's probably going to be in media. That's what happens, right? I mean, our guy Mike Tannenbaum, who apparently I missed. You guys had a nice interview with him.
I think we missed it too.
Yeah, sounds like it. But that's – there aren't too many – you know, there aren't too many second chances for GM. Some of them do end up in a massive kitchen of cooks like with the Titans here. But a lot of them go to the media way. I could see him being good.
Well, they don't seem to get rehired as GMs for some reason.
They really don't.
No. So we got to do something, I guess, unless you take a demotion.
And I guess he took an interview this year. Was it the Jets that he interviewed with?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did not make it to the final round of interviews.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's one of those things. Like at this point, you've taken enough of that sweet, sweet Adams family money that if you can get an actual job, then okay, fine. And Amy's like, please. And
writing letters of recommendations like she did with Rabel.
Dear Mr. Kraft, please hire Mike Vrabel.
Oh, God.
And if you want to, you can hire John Robinson as well. Thank you. Love, Amy.
This was maybe
probably not.
Maybe the last segment of the show should just be us doing fun voices. Maybe we should make that a new thing, you know?
The Titans.
I smoke weed constantly.
The Titans have made a move.
Okay.
Running back Ty Davis Price, who has previously played for the 49ers and the Eagles, is signing a 2-year deal with the Titans per his agent. This coming from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. You'll love to know that Ty Davis Price had 3 carries for 7 yards last year in one game played. He's played in 8 career games. Has 43 carries, 127 yards, a 3 yards per carry average. So there you go.
So maybe I'm dumb. Maybe I'm naive. At any position is whatever. It's fine. You know, depth at all positions. But a 2-year deal? I mean, I'm sure.
I would love to know what that actual deal looks like.
Yeah, and I'm sure. Like, you can get, but like, is that actually necessary with someone like that to do anything but a 1-year deal? You know what I mean? Like, why is it? I mean, I'm sure that they would not be on the hook for any money in the second year, but it's still kind of weird, isn't it?
Yes, it is weird. It is weird.
Someone explain it to me.
I don't know.
Like I'm a child.
But, I mean, he's 24 years old, went to LSU, Ty Davis Price, 3 carries for 7 yards last year.
Interesting. I would not take that because then whenever there's a signing and you're like, okay, what does this mean? I probably wouldn't take it as anything but a camp body. But again,
Super Bowl champion.
2-year deal?
Yeah. Won Super Bowl last year with Philadelphia.
Yeah, in the practice squad.
Yeah.
Big time.
Still get a ring.
He's around Saquon and just kind of, you know.
Osmosis.
Around somebody like, he's going to run his tail off this year.
There you go. Yeah. Saquon mentored him and now he's ready to come here and unleash it.
I mean, in all seriousness, that's going to be, I don't know how much he's going to factor into it, but that's going to be a position that when camp comes around, is going to be really interesting to monitor. Like, who's the third back for the Titans? Is it Mullings, who they just drafted? You know, is Chestnut going to end up being
Chestnut,
third guy?
Your boy Chestnut, Joe, might be in trouble.
He's just hanging around at this point, so I'm interested to see how that goes. I guess I would assume it would be Mullings, but we'll find out.
Yeah, always been a fan of Chestnut. I'm actually, I've said this before, I'm a fan of the Mullings pick. I am. I really late switch from linebacker, and if you watched him at all last year, I think he's got some juice as a power back.
One texter says the TDP era for the Titans has begun. Go Ty Davis Price, baby. Yeah. Let's get after it.
There we go.
Hey, good for them adding some depth out there.
Al loves it when I break out the Edith card. I didn't really go full Edith there, but we'll save that for I like doing it in Paul's face.
I do too. I think it's one of the best things that you do. Even though Corey Curtis was taking shots earlier, it says, apparently I don't like you. That's what he said.
Wait, what did he say?
Corey Curtis. He was like, you know, Robbie may not like Joe. I don't know.
Well, also, Robbie may, you know, like when Joe sucks, as usual on the show, Robbie may not say so, but.
It's like, man, I've never said any of these things about Joe before. I happen to like Joe very much.
Corey's a little bit too cocky. And I can tell it has everything to do with his Bears fandom, you know?
Yeah.
He's a little bit too cheery these days, and it's because Bears fans in the off season are like the most glorious sports fans in the world.
Yeah.
Like everything is lovely because, you know, like they just know this is the year it's gonna change. God, I need them to suck this
I do
year.
Too. It's gonna be awesome. I've loved watching some college baseball this weekend. It's been fun. I'm looking forward to watching some more tonight. It is kind of – I'm not really a huge fan of the Stanley Cup final not starting until Wednesday and the NBA final not starting until Thursday.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I understand why they're doing it, and the teams are getting a break before you go, but I would love for there to be one of those games like tomorrow. Let's go.
Yeah, it is too long. I also – is it just me or – didn't we used to have a little bit more of a staggered system where they weren't just completely competing against each other? I mean, are we going to have any same nights?
No, they do. They purposely avoid that.
Okay, so they've got that figured out. That's good then. Yeah. I feel like it used to be a little more staggered.
I don't know. As long as I can remember, I think it's been this way, but I would love for it to be more staggered.
Yeah.
That's just me. Like, first off, if you're the NHL, you need it to be more staggered. Like, get yourself isolated to where people can watch.
No doubt. Real quick, Caleb, mic drop. He said he just left Chicago. He can confirm that these Bears fans are way too confident.
I'm sure it'll go well for them.
God. I need it.
I'm sure it'll be nice.
I need it.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chasing Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.